will all be undermined if such an organisation is lacking in direction. The key point is not one of choosing between size and political coherence. It's rather that we should be aiming for both because we can.
Thanks very much for that, Alan. We'll probably 20 minutes or so to discuss this first topic here. Does anyone have any questions, comments, anything?
Fire away.
Just make sure you keep them brief.
Alright, with so many obstacles in the way of anarchism, people in the public have a very bad image of it, and things like very right-wing organisations like the BNP are in the way. How will you make people more aware? You don't want to see your creature on the street corners. What would you do?
I suppose I'll just give a couple of examples from my own personal experience. Worked more or less the same job for about 20 years, moving around doing the job, same place for 20 years. In fact, just let go last week as part of the cutbacks. The first couple of years of the job, I didn't get involved in the union and that, and you mess people. Alright, yeah, I'm an anarchist, it's okay, I'm fucking mental, where's your bomb? You're in an anarchist group, heads up an anarchist group, sure, if those two of you'd be killing each other or something. but over the years, talking to people, giving them copies of workers' solidarity and so on, and making, I hope, reasonably useful or intelligent sort of interventions at union meetings and that, over a period, and then people moved on to, anarchism, okay, it's a nice idea, but can we see it happening? And then we moved into people say, maybe it could happen, but I'm not sure I can see it myself. Gradual sort of progression to the stage where now there people would regard, even people who have no particular sympathy for it, now regard it as at least as legitimate a political idea as any other, as Fianna Fáil or Labour or whatever. It does take time because the media is massive. Like most people say anarchism, think chaos. There's economic anarchy, there was anarchy up the Ardonagh last Saturday night, anything like that. It's anarchy. And sometimes anarchists do think, maybe if we change our name to something else. I don't think that works because change your name to something else, people say, what's that? Oh, you mean anarchy? It didn't always have that reputation. Some of it possibly the fault of the anarchist movement itself, not being very good at doing its own PR. But by and large, I think it was a reflection of the ideas we're brought up with, that it's the natural division into rulers and rule, bosses and workers, that we are so dependent on being ruled by other people, that if we didn't have rulers, then there'd be chaos. So, we're not clever enough, to run the world. We need big businessmen to do it, or people like Peter Robinson or somebody. And I think it's really only when that idea is tackled and taken on that then people begin to see anarchism as real. The other thing, on the local level, in my own area, there's a few WSM members now, and sort of long term, we own our own house, that's sort of we're there for our lives. We've been distributing the worker salary door to door for a fair few years. And the first year or so, other than a few people you knew already, it's been a bit left or liberal inclined. Most people would have said, so what, what's this, I'm more jumping, it's all mad. Then it's sort of people getting it regularly, hopefully that it would sort of address at least some of the issues that they were currently interested in, that we were identified with that, being involved, then backed up by being involved with what few things were there, and most know, on the local level, they're usually huge amount going on. When things would break out, the recent campaign against the charging for refuse collection and so on, that we did get to say, first of all, okay, they're not mad, we know them, they're our neighbours, but it's still a pretty wacky idea, is probably moved on to, again, this sort of, don't know if I agree with it, but it's a fairly legitimate idea, and a few people moving well beyond that and sort of engaging in discussion with us. Got that guy across the street from me joined, initially as a result of getting the paper in his door. it's all been sort of fairly slow. I think a lot of it is, our first task in a way is probably just letting people know what anarchism is, and the mass media ain't going to do that for us. And obviously small groups have very limited resources in what we can do. We're not saying that we have all the ideas or know it all. Always is, like, I think that we are one contribution to that task. But we certainly don't know it all. If we did, I think we'd be a lot further on than we are now.
I could also add from our perspective in Belfast, I know our branch, we also distribute our free newspaper there, the door to door. I think apart from what Alan's saying, it is basically about building up our profile. Simple things such as writing the newspapers, talking to your workmates, your neighbours about stuff that's affecting them. It's basic politics to me, it's how you move things forward. Apart from that, does anyone have anything else to say?
Kids nowadays, young people nowadays are brought up with the indoctrination that you should grow up, you should get a job, get married, settle down, and you should respect government and the police force. How would you completely lost my train of thought. Amazing. Go back.
There is a discussion on that maybe later on, if that's what you're referring to in terms of the future society being the police, etc.
Yeah.
Maybe if that's what you want to maybe throw it up on the floor later on in the third meeting.
How would you get people more aware that they will need a leader or government or a boss, but it's kind of universal, so.
Given the current economic situation and seemingly the potential for the growth of an anarchist movement, what type of campaigns or education are you involved in the South?
How do you get over the, that has to be somebody in charge, that has to be somebody who's sort of clever or smart or brighter or just some God-given gift, to tell us how to run our lives. You are running against our whole upbringing, the whole way society runs, on one hand. But on the other hand, people do, on things that they don't see as particularly political at all, but people do break from that without being conscious of it. Like, the number of people who are involved in things as simple as, where it's a tidy areas group or, the residents association or, there are a lot of people who volunteer, do stuff that there's no particular gain for them in, and they do it on a relatively sort of democratic and participatory basis. In my own job, one thing we did, at one stage there were about 700 members of the union I belonged to on the job. And at one stage very few shop stewards. So as a result, those shop stewards tend to be real authority figures. Everybody went to them with the tiniest problem and looked at them and thought, no need to go for a meeting, go to Jack, he'll sort it out. We spent a couple of years sort of arguing away and convincing people and got to the stage there where we ended up with about four or five times as many stewards, instead of one maybe representing about 100 people. We got down to about one to every 15 or 20 in a lot of sections. We spent about a whole day of people never done it before, got into position and doing stuff, yet the load wasn't too heavy for anybody. And then we sort of moved that up to our branch committee, instead of just being elected by a very poorly attended meeting once a year where maybe 1% of the membership turned up. There's nothing interesting happening at it. That said, we're becoming more a delegate-based committee from the different jobs, with, to some degree, people report back. I'm not saying it's great, but we did find that when you could say to people, there's no huge task, it's in your own interest, you're capable of doing something, that people generally rose to the task. Like, I think if they didn't, an awful lot of what we see around us now, whether it's sport or kids or a project, there's a whole lot of things that people do without just one person ordering them around, but they don't see that, they don't connect that with sort of the big things in society, the job or, the government or stuff like that. And certainly anything we are involved in, we argue hard against sort of leaving to somebody else politics. You know, elect a committee, let them get on with it. Very hard against that. And we look for more general meetings, more involved people, and that where you need committees, that it's very transparent what they're doing, so people can see it's not some sort of mystical thing that you need special powers to, you know, insisting like that they give brief reports. What did you discuss? What did you decide? Why did you do this? How many hours are involved in what you're doing? So sort of demystifying it, like, so that most people feel, well, yeah, shit, I can do that as well. It's not a big mystery. I don't think there is any simple answer, but the biggest thing is, more than that, when people get involved in the struggle, then their eyes really get open, that everything that you previously believed in gets challenged. You know, it's like, for instance, the cops are impartial. Most people think that, you know, they don't really take sides, you know, they just enforce the law. Until you get involved in something like maybe the stuff against the Shell refinery down in Mayo, where they can ship in hundreds of cops to
coal taxi.
The coal taxi group, to battle sort of small farmers off the roadway and that. Yet, 100 miles down the road in Limerick, there are several estates which were the last 2 decades have been run completely by prim gangs where the cops don't go in. And it's then when people are in some shit, they can send cops here to batter me, but they can't sort out these major heroin dealing gangs who are running around with AK-47s and pipe bombs. Fuck, why is that? People start thinking, and once you, I think you make the break on one thing, then you're a lot more open to thinking about other stuff. I think most big struggles have tended to politicise people, to get people to think outside the box. I'll just be this just one little thing that I remember. In Britain during the miners' strike, again it's going back by the over there at the time, and miners by and large were not considered paragons of feminism or, you know, right on sexual equality. It was a very macho, hardback culture which, you know, tended to go with that type of work. At the end of the strike, in 85, the gay pride march in London that year, there were about a dozen branch banners from the National Union of Mine Workers, some that had never, ever been seen before, because I think when people got involved in struggle, learned sort of, you know, that, well, one or two things they're telling us is wrong, you know, it's in the interest of the ruling class, whatever, it's right, then maybe the other things are. Some people automatically change, become a lot more open to ideas, and makes it a lot easier to suss out who your real allies are, what's right, what's wrong. I think involvement in people getting involved and doing stuff for themselves does create that real potential for changing minds, for being open to new ideas. And just in terms of campaign work that we're involved in at the moment, probably the biggest single issue at the minute is the question of the gas field off the west coast, which is valued at anything, depending on whose figures you believe, anything from I think about 700 billion to 3 trillion, which has just been given away to three major multinational oil companies. There are no royalties, there are practically no taxes. I think there was only ever one country in the world that gave better terms to the oil companies than that. I think that was Nicaragua before the Sandinistas took over in the 70s. Absolutely scandalous, given that. At the same time, and they're also to help things about a new experimental high-pressure system being used down there, which is capable of blowing a fair few people in their houses up. But the amount of money that we're involved primarily around that, because we're facing a situation now where they're saying we're going to cut unemployment money, we're getting rid of loads of jobs out of the public sector, we're closing hospital wards, we're increasing class sizes in schools, we're slashing public transport, we're taking money out of people's pensions, the whole lot. And those fuckers gave away enough money to pay for all those cuts 10 times or more over. We've been very involved around the boat down in Mayo in trying to slow up the laying of the pipeline, and more importantly all over the country in drawing attention to this huge financial giveaway, which is at the expense of working people. It's a social welfare for the richest companies in the world. We're also about, like, you know, where things will break out in the areas where we're living, in our own jobs. I won't say there's hugely exciting stuff happening at the moment. There isn't. But, you know, we find our members haven't had to deal with sort of serious racist attacks. It's much more around deportation, particularly of what we call the aged out kids, where unaccompanied minors arrived here and they'd be put up at hostile accommodation by the state, put through education. But the moment they hit 18, they're fucked out of the country. Back to somewhere maybe like, you know, that they've no knowledge of, they know nobody there, like they literally sort of, you know, don't say Lagos Airport or something. So we've been involved sort of in anti-deportation, some of it successful, some not. Essentially, I suppose I'd say that we would do two things. We will look for issues that have the possible potential of bringing big numbers into struggle and of winning some games. And secondly, we will also fight sort of where we are, just where politics begins, in sort of in your own area, in your own job, which are all remains.
Could I come in there as well? I think you touched on an important point there along about how things change during struggle. It all boils down to the question of human nature, but human nature, as we know from history, changes. For example, in France a couple of generations ago, it used to be taught what divine right of rule, kings and queens. In France, eventually people were taught that for generations, you can't question the king, eventually they were overthrown or whatever, and the guillotine brought out. And also, basically, women's universal suffrage, and women's right to vote, and one person, but one vote that was achieved through struggle, and even when we were told through the media from our politicians that for working class people, don't get them over, there's something I'm good about anyway. And also, as I was saying earlier on, we just look at the simple things of where we live and work. To me, where I live anyway, there is cooperation between neighbours anyway. If you need anything for help, assistance, we're always looking out for each other depending on the street. So it's basically that common, that cooperation always exists, and when we cooperate, we achieve more things and it's better for everyone. Does anyone have any more comments or questions?
How did things change when you leave Australia? Because more recently than the French Revolution, the unemployment movement in the
1990s,
we have seen lots of people from working class area, absolutely no politics, no politicized, sorry, I don't find my word, without political ideology, very macho, very Mediterranean culture. They was involved in the unemployment movement. And even with this movement collapse, they stay involved in political organization. And I think that I arrived just when it collapsed. And I've seen people from Algeria, people from migrants from Algeria, living in Marseille, with completely different way to see the wife, to see the gay people, than their neighbors. And it was amazing to see that, because when you live in Marseille, when you live in the south of France, you see macho everywhere. When these people was in struggle, they learned all of that, and they completely changed. They became radical in another way. Feminist groups. And I guess just because in Australia you meet other people, you just meet people you never meet in another situation.
Does anyone else have something?
What you were saying about human nature is, I don't believe, like the divine right of kings, I don't believe that that's human nature itself. That's human nature. Human nature is eating, getting water, shelter. People are brought up now with the ideology that governments are right, that you should follow the government system, and you're nurtured in the system we're in now.
So we'll take about, is there anything else before I wind things up? No?
take maybe come back about 15 minutes and all this literature and all that, etc. The next one is exactly probably basically like this ideas and how we and the types of side that we believe in. So that's so about 10-15 minutes anyway, so 15 minutes,
yeah,
is that your mum over there?
Yes, my mum, yeah. How do you know?
You were from London?
Yeah.
You were visiting your daughter?
Yep.
What?
No, it's fine. Yep. It's just called
So what are you doing today?